All right, David Dubine of Adapt 2030, the famous YouTube channel that's been helping people learn about the grand solar minimum and supply chain shortages and earth changes, crazy weather, etc. for over three decades. No, maybe a decade. I'm not sure how long it's been around. But it's been around
I'm
for
looking
a while.
Great for 80, Craig. I'm looking great for 80.
I know. And David's actually over 360 years old. Most people don't know that. Yeah. So
I use Dave, C60 red light and Shilat, and I'm good to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Not health advice, but, you know, David is pushing 400.
Yeah, right. I was born in the modern minimum. That's why I'm telling you, the cycle's coming back again.
David's like, it's happened before.
Yeah, when I was born in the 1600s, it's happening again.
Yeah, so firsthand knowledge. So anyway.
Yeah, right. And the Dalton minimum, I was middle age. You know?
Yeah.
I was 1815, by the way.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, so we've gone through some minimums, and now we're really into one, getting into one as we head towards 2030. And so that's why the channel is called Adapt 2030, of course. So David, living the dream out there in your compound in Tennessee, how are things going? It's good to catch up.
Yeah. Thanks for having me back. Good to get around for a minute and kind of, you know, put the world's events sort of in some mappable fashion so you can see where it goes. Like this whole thing for me, I think it's just a distraction as we're changing systems. So if the supply chains would have been fully functional, you know, people would have been asking a lot more questions like, hey, why aren't things there? But you throw up the tariffs, now everything goes awry. You can't value companies the same. Shipping companies are struggling. Tourism, everything in between. Oh, and then it upset the apple cart, and there's a perfect reason for it. And you can explain away the crop shortages without having to explain why there are crop shortages. People will just go with the flow. Everything's tariffs. It's all the tariffs. And you don't have to explain. Their minds will fill in the blanks, and the media will help them do that. So get ready. Here we go. Distraction wave number two, inbound.
Yeah. Yeah. And the tariffs are definitely, you know, a huge, well, they got everybody's attention. That's for sure. And we've known that we're moving into the grand solar minimum. So we definitely have the natural crop losses that would be expected. Definitely the crazy weather that's been expected. And like, what do you think of that? When we look at the weather that's happening right now around the world, if you look at the mainstream media, basically anything people are watching on that big screen in their house in the evenings when you walk by and you spy on them, you know, it's CNN or it's MSNBC or it's one of those, Fox or CNBC or MS, whatever they are, CBS. It's one of the big three. Mostly it's MSNBC or just, you know, NBC or Fox. But when it comes to the mainstream media, and even really the MAM, as they call it now, like the main alternative media, the MAM, they call it now. It's MAM. So it's not a peep, not even the slightest word. I mean, do you think anybody realizes what's going on? Because if a person just subscribes to just some like Instagram channels for crazy weather, for Telegram channels, etc., there's so much info out there on flooding. I mean, crazy hail. There's so much crazy weather, extreme weather, but nobody knows about it. Yeah.
That's what I was doing with the channel, was wrapping all that together.
Yeah.
Now, in the beginning, it was good. It was like 2014. I was buying coffee in Myanmar, and I saw this cold weather damage in Burma, right, to the coffee. And I was thinking, something doesn't seem right. And that was that whole quest where I talked to John Casey right when he wrote his first book, Cold Sun. Did a couple interviews with him, really got into it, started broadcasting. And sure enough, right on time with the whole, wiping of any kind of thought that went counter narrative to anything that wasn't 100% CO2. But now there's a lot more information coming out where you can talk a little more freely about it. I am going to be doing about a 30-minute length video here of that point when Vice News had gotten paid and gotten tipped off from a group of people that were with different NGOs to take down any type of content that was on YouTube. And they also hit up Patreon to tell them to take me down. But because it was more science based and conjecture, they left me be, but they reduced my reach. So going through different venues and now coming back up to the surface again for another breath, for a better term. These things that were predicted and talked about are in full swing right now. Like what the whole model was like this. I'll just explain it for anybody who doesn't. Grand solar minimum, magnetic fields in the sun change, affecting Earth's magnetic shielding or magnetic field. And we're seeing a decline right now. Incredible declines. And I wanted to talk about that rip through the magnetic field with the plasma penetration and over Spain that caused power outages. Like this was already expected anyway. That same deviation in electric current causing that rip through and punch through the ionosphere, that's also what holds our cloud cells and jet streams in place and keeps those moisture patterns nice and smooth that we've figured out over the last 200 years when to plant and when to harvest. Magnetic field of our planet, if it's really tight and compressed, those jet streams really stay locked in place. They don't go very far. They're finding the cloud cells, which are normally from, you know, zero on the equator to, say, 30 north, like the Hadley cell. That's the most famous one. Those things have moved some hundreds of miles off the equator. They're not at the actual position that they used to be, even when they started measuring and, you know, taking, I guess, measurements per latitude on where these cells begin, where the interaction cells are. Because generally, it went from equator to 30. And then there was another whole cell that was 30, and it mixed in and pulled all that to 60 degrees north latitude. And then there was another whole cell that was the Arctic cell that pulled all that from 60 up to the Arctic Circle. And that's how when you get a very ferocious volcanic eruption on the equator, how all that ash gets dragged across the planet. There's that cellular convection going from one cloud cell to the next. Now that's predicated on A, electricity coming in the system here from a sun, and also the different I'm going to use the best way to try to is compression on a magnetic field to lock it in place so those jet streams stay locked in place. When that compression comes off, A, more galactic cosmic rays come in. But as you're seeing now, this is a once in a 400-year event. A lot of people are now really going, hey, this is a once in a 2,000 at the minimum. I'll be conservative and stay 400. We're starting to see it. And then, so that's the natural thing. But then they had to give an excuse. So global warming was perfect because anything that you saw that was out of the ordinary, global warming, CO2, they bought themselves how much time, how many decades did they buy by people not being aware and not changing their habits and being led by the media to do exactly what they're told through the dog and pony show and this illusion called world that we live in. And then we come to the world that we live in where do you think your food just got super more expensive just randomly because? No. There's been continuous decreasing crop yields year upon year since probably about 2019. That's when it was. And right when COVID came in, I'm like, you know, that was the biggest distraction pattern ever. They locked down the planet. And that was one thing I had forecast many a time, 2015, 16, 17. Before this thing really kicks off, they're going to lock down the planet. Okay, they locked it down, but then they unlocked it. Because they need to bring in a new economic system. So food is going to become one of the most expensive parts of your life. And it's always been that way. The last iteration, every 400 years, you get this cycle that comes back. And the main number one thing is the food's not as available to grow. It's not as plentiful. It's not as nutritious. And the yields are far lower. I don't care if it's veg or if it's fruit or if it's grains. It's been like that through history. Nuts. People can't afford that price, or they just, you know, think about 500, 800, 1200 years ago, 800 AD, for example, people would have to literally pick up and move. If there was a mega drought or like a saturation event where they couldn't plant and they couldn't, people left, they had to leave. They didn't have just-in-time delivery and shipping like we do today. That's the only reason we have not collapsed this point. We would have been in the collapse mode long like they did in the 1600s had we not have this global shipping where we can move food around. But I am pretty sure that this year rice is going to be the canary in the coal mine.
Okay.
I've done a ton of research on the rice crop using AI, looking searching all the world's media for crop losses and different variants of like over 10%, over 20%. And rice seems to be taking the major hit this year. And now you got the war with Punjab or with India and Pakistan. Yes. Punjab area, that's a huge rice growing area for India too. So you're just like nicking it and taking, you know, chopping it off, nicking it off a little piece at a time. And then Myanmar, massive rice producer, but after the earthquake, they're going to go to near zero. So we're already getting substantial reductions just on those, but it was already looking at 5 to 7% reduction globally in rice this year. Prices up. That's a staple crop, right? So you start to look at this repeating pattern in history, and all it is the magnetic field on the sun changes that really dents and hinders our ability to grow food to the tonnage that we need for the 8 billion people on the planet right now. Prices get so exorbitant for food that you stop spending on everything else, and then the economy contracts, as we're seeing now, because everything else is in a very inflationary environment. Food leads it, though, because if you're paying double or triple or quadruple for your food, you're not spending that extra over going to see movies. You're not spending it on the books. You're not spending it on the nice tables you got in the background there on the fans and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then people, and I saw the fan, and I wanted, you know, the fan in the background there. People are going to start using fans way more than turning on the air conditioning because the electricity is going up. So there's this like switch going on and allocating your money available per month. It's all about the food production, and we're starting to see it now where they can't hide it anymore. So what's happening? Well, we're at the point of the economic reset now. It's just where we sit. I know it's a long-winded answer there. Sorry, Craig, for
It's a very good answer, and it really brings things up to speed because, you know, it is good to go into the real details of the grand solar minimum that we're moving into, and that it has historically happened in the past. And this is one of the things, just like if you're watching the big screen on the wall in the evenings, like most people do, you have no idea that there's really earth change weather going on. You don't have any idea why what happened in Spain happened, and we can go into that. People aren't, even though they're paying for it, they're not necessarily aware that I would say since 2020, January 2020, let's say, there's a good chance your food bill went up 20% a year. Maybe, you know, it depends on where you're at and what you eat, you know, but definitely if people haven't noticed, I mean, right now when things are half price or buy one, get one free, I go, wow, look, they're what they used to cost not long ago. And so, and definitely here in Scottsdale, the land of, you know, vanity, and in other cities that we know people like San Francisco, a lot of vanity stuff, let's say like Botox, let's say, you know, and other, like, you know, tattoo removal, just, you know, vanity things that people pay for to do their bodies. People that we know in those businesses, you know, sales are going to kind of zero very fast. And one of the things that we're watching this summer is, like, Scottsdale's a tourist town. But even in the summer, when everybody comes here, we're seeing big, you know, restaurants close, and you're like this is as good as it gets is right now. Now, some are still very full of people, but the prices are getting astronomical. I mean, the people who are eating there, I mean, they're paying quite a lot for simple things. And so anyway, winter is coming, as or summer's coming, whatever. Our dead season is starting now. And we're very curious, you know, how many restaurants and such close when the tourist season ends. So we'll see how it goes. But even now, you know, this is one of the things I'd recommend to people. Look in your neighborhood, look in your city, look around. What's changing? What isn't there anymore? Are there storefronts that are empty? You know, I mean, it seems like if a person leaves the house and looks around, they've got to see evidence that we're definitely in an economic downturn. And right now, I think it's very obvious that people are, I would say that vanity money is definitely drying up. Yeah.
Well, if I could follow with the point there, you know, I would agree, but I would say that's a very low, and that's very conservative. I'm glad you went to the conservative of 20% per year. I think it's higher. I'm not going to say far, far higher, but, you know, I used to buy this extra virgin Spanish olive oil from the shop because I like either Moroccan olive oil or Spanish. Love them both. Italian, nice. Love it. Greek, too, good. But I'm just a fan of Spanish olive oils, extra virgin, and Moroccan as well. So maybe that's the first ones I've ever had, but those are my two faves, right? So there's just one shop that carries that I need to go to, like an ethnic store there. It has all these different, you know, from Asia to India and everything. Their price went from $18 to $39.
Woo, yes.
So that's more than doubling, you know. And then, you know, you look at it and you go, well, for me, that's a must-have for cooking. I'm not gonna switch on that. I'm never going to heavy seed oils and stuff.
Yeah.
I will pay that price to get the olive oil. Like there's some things that are a no-go on my list that I don't care what the price it is, I am going to continue to buy it. And you're going to have to take into consideration your health too, because the worst choices you make with food choice, the worse your health is going to be. Because if you're eating toxic meat, toxic stuff out of a box, and you're not cooking whole foods and, you know, bulk aisle kind of stuff, which we're going to go to anyway, you might want to think about maybe a small lifestyle change. And then I'll agree, like the amount of stores that are out of business is ridiculous, especially some small strip malls. You know, the traffic's not there. They're just ghost towns. And China's even worse. You know, they're getting really crushed by the tariffs. I mean, this whole thing for me is a restructuring of the economy with an excuse left to it, because in the economic downturn, it's different this time. How are you going to revalue companies, or how do you give valuation to companies that are non-functional because so many people disappeared off the planet in the last 4 years for medical choices they've made? Like top-level people that had to do that to be in that job position, like they're lacking entire rungs of people now. And the shipping, and now walk through this mind experiment with me, the tariffs. Got the tariffs. Okay, it's charging this. Companies, airlines, really affected. Shipping companies themselves, really affected. All kind of big box stores, retailers, completely affected. And then your food stuff's affected too. But then the machines that produce all that or refine or can do something with that are also affected. So we, in this regionalized world, I tell everybody out there, please look for this document. It's called the Lima Declaration. And I think it was 1976. It was the plan at that time with the signatory of all nations on the planet to come into what we call globalization. We've all lived it. You understood our country, every country is gone and found and suck out the most ridiculously cheap labor place and electrical prices. And then they, you know, kind of vampired those destinations up. Now that Lima Declaration ends this year in 2025.
Oh, the next plan.
Yeah, the next step of the Lima Declaration 2, for a better term, is a regionalization plan. This is why when Klaus Schwab says you're only going to have two or three regional flights per year, that could very well be true, because the whole regionalized basis of this next plan from 2025 to 2050 is to snap that globalization, bring everything back into nations. It's going to be all AI, print on demand, print on manufacture type of world we're moving into. AI is kind of scary in many ways, but it's kind of hopeful in many ways. But the way it's going to substitute jobs, like when these factories relocate, they're not going to relocate them and put 40,000 people in a factory stamping widgets. It's coming back. They might have 40 people there coding and programming how all the AI runs through, and the AI is going to stamp widgets for you on demand after you order it online. Like when this comes back, we're just going to be a shell of manufacturing of what it used to be for the need for people. So if you don't have anybody employed, AI is taking over everything. You can't value the stock market the same way, because none of the companies are valued in the same way. Right. So we're talking about a complete transition of the economy right at the exact same time in the overlay of this grand solar minimum reducing food production, where food's going to get astronomically more expensive from now. So you have these things dovetailing, and this is the reset. They're talking about it. And, you know, you like cycles and times. So Strauss and Howe, 80-year fourth turning. Okay, we're in that winter, as you just said, winter chapter. We're in that fourth chapter of the downturn. So you get the 80-year cycle, the 20 years of hopefulness, the grandioseness, the expansion, and the decline. Okay, we're in the 80-year last 20 years of decline. But we're also in a grand solar minimum, which is a 400-year cycle. And it lands right now when we're in the decline of the 80-year cycle. Now, as you do that iteration of grand solar minimums going back in time, so you need five fourth turning cycles of those 80 years to get the 400 year. So previous, let's say, and you go back to the Sporer minimum, or let's go to the Oort minimum, 800 AD. Okay, well, if you're going to wind the clock back then, they were at the apex of the fourth turning minimum. So the conditions would have been very different. So the fourth turning itself, where it sits in that 80-year fractal, combined in on the grand solar minimum cycles, then we start to get, wow, this is going to be a powerful one, because we got a declining cycle in anyway, and now we got something that knocks the knees out of civilization every single time, compounded on top of that last 20-year declining cycle. We're about 10 years into it, I would say. Maybe not that much, maybe six. I don't know how many years you think we're into the decline right now. Why is my camera freezing? That's
weird. Yeah. Yeah, it's a tough one with the, you know, when, what, like, how far are we into the decline? It's a tough one because there's this part of me that I know it doesn't quite match the cycle, but I oftentimes think like 1971, you know, there's something about, you know, getting off the gold standard, et cetera, that really, the world was different after that, like when America truly went to a debt-based system, you know. And I think 1970 is a little bit too soon, but in the fourth turning, doesn't quite match up numbers-wise, but I still think there's something about 1970 that that dictates a real change in trend, you know. Like if a person was looking at, if we had enough data points and we could put it into a chart, now you're moving fast. I think we would see, okay, there was some, like if a person's a trader, you would see some long candles moving up towards 1970. Then you'd see, you know, sellers are starting to have dominance. Then you see like an indecision candle. Then you would see some engulfing big red candles. I think you would see a real change in market, change in direction, at least in the 70s. That's always been my take on it. I could be way off, but there's something about it. I think it matches. Yeah.
Well, you know what? I just want to say the reason I took a second there to turn away from the camera is this Teams is incredibly annoying. It runs at, you know, almost a full gigabyte in the background there. It runs at 750 megabytes. Ooh. Just to have it on. So when I went to Control Alt Delete, I had to turn that off because it's sucking memory out at almost a gig off of this. Well, let's say half a gig and be generous.
Oh, yeah. Microsoft.
That computing power, that Teams junk is just junk anyway. Why do they want to sever our communication lines anyway?
Yeah.
This is another thing. This is a purposeful severing of communication. So what do you do in every war or every kind of takeover? You know better than walk me through it. Okay, you're going to go in for an invasion. You're going to go in for support. You're going to go in for something, right? But you need to keep the enemy at bay for a minute. What are you going to do? You're going to cut lines of communication and then?
Well, lines of communication, but you also go after the water. You go after power, you go after sewage, of all things. People don't think about that, but when you flush your toilet and nothing happens, that is really devastating to a society. So really water, electricity, communication, sewer, and then, of course, you their airspace, you turn it off so things can't fly. That makes it really hard to defend yourself. And, of course, there's electromagnetic warfare. You know, you EMP them basically, boom. Some of our Navy ships can do that pretty close to the coastline. They can blast stuff and really screw up communications. And so we have the ability to do, like, localized EMPs pretty close to the shore, but we can do it anyway. So I've seen all these crazy things. And, yeah, society just absolutely stops. And it really – now, if you're a rural society, like if you did this to a bunch of preppers, they probably wouldn't care, you know, as much. But a city with any population density, yeah, it's a genocide basically.
Yeah, and where to anybody out there, take this as a note, please. Put it on a note piece of paper. If your toilet were to stop flushing, all you need to do is get a 5-gallon bucket, fill it like with 2 to 3 gallons of water, and pour it in, and that will be your flush cycle for you. Now, keep in mind, you probably don't want to use a toilet after that, and you have to probably get some plastic trash bags and do something in that 5-gallon bucket. But at that point, if you do, and the toilets are all, you know, full, and you're like, nah, it's starting to stink, I don't know, we can't get any water, just go get even, you know, recycled water off your gutters or something, coming out rainwater, and pour it in there. That'll do the flush cycle.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a 5-gallon bucket, it's a little bit uncomfortable to sit on, but you can always put a toilet seat on there. You probably have a couple extra ones at that point. And cat litter works really, really good. It works, you know, and you can buy cheap ass cat litter at Walmart for 99 cents for like 3 or 5 pounds of it. So,
oh, man, yeah. It's all made in China. Get your cat litter now.
You know, get your cat ladies.
Cat ladies. Oh, I watched the most amazing. I was looking on LinkedIn because I'm going to start posting on LinkedIn more. So I was watching a bunch of, like, how to grow your LinkedIn channels. This woman was just, like, dynamite on fire, but she was a cat lady. I kid you not. It's my first, like, real cat lady. Wow. I thought they were imaginary kind of people, you know. But no kidding, super high level. And I was watching in the first couple minutes, and then she said, yeah, name of the cat makes the show go around. And I was like, oh, does she have an assistant there or something? And she picked up this big cat. And I was like, oh my gosh. She looked very, you know, that type of person, but I didn't really know. I mean, I thought they were sort of like myths and legends, you know, but they're real. No kidding. I was so shocked at the professionalism that came across. And then in this like interview with another person, then it turned into a cat lady interview for, I swear to you, it was the most dynamite on target, on spot, do this, put this, post this. And then it went into 5 minutes of cat lady. And I was like, oh my gosh. And then she snapped right out of it and was right back into the LinkedIn again.
Oh, wow.
Thank you, cat ladies.
yeah. Get your cat litter. Yeah. And your animal supplies too. I mean, so, because one of the things that we're seeing, and it is true, so we have the 400 year GSM cycle. You also mentioned the 2000 year cycle. I'm not as familiar with that one, but I know you've spoken of it, but also the fourth turning 80 year cycle, which is also matching a 400 year cycle of the GSM. So we have a lot of cycles, and of course we have the planetary lineups. And then if one follows any new age crazy people like myself, you're going to find that there's a lot of talking about like photonic energy, like plasma energy, that like the earth is being charged up. With one can see it as a mechanical thing. If you're crazy like myself, you can see it as a very, very spiritual thing, and you're feeling some of your superpowers being turned on. And so that's one of the things about this time, is that there's definitely challenges, but like we know, there's, you know, the GSM and evolutionary leaps. So evolutionary leaps are also going to happen. Sasha Dobler wrote his books about that this is also a time of, so we have a time of disaster. I mean, like, yes, my roof is on fire and my first floor is flooded. This is really difficult. But on the second floor of the house, there's some enlightened stuff going on. So are you seeing that? Are you seeing people getting their superpowers turned on? Do you have night vision yet?
No, but you're probably one of the most sane ones out here, because this energy amplification is really tweaking a lot of people in the way they perceive reality. Mm-hmm. Like, they have it. Okay, you understand what's happening with that. And me to an extent too, but you better than I, because, well, maybe it is because I'm just kind of in tune. I walk barefoot a lot outside. I'm always outside a lot. And you know, one thing that's turned off for me is this like never ending incessant need to work all the time to grind like 24/7. Like it's kind of, I'm not going to say gone away, but it's diminishing to the point where, for some reason, it's flipped and I need to spend more time outside. I don't know why it is. It just happened. And I'm going with the flow. Now, a lot of people that can't understand these energies, they don't know why they're feeling this way. They don't know why they're having these thoughts. They don't know why. And another thing, people are starting to see a lot more glints and things out of the sides of their eyes. This is just another veil that's sort of lived. And this is definitely an indication that there's a different charge state or a different electrical frequency coming in that we're existing in, that is allowing something to be seen on the periphery of the veil. And I know that sounds really woo-woo, but what I mean is your auditory, you're probably picking up different sounds that you can hear now. Your sight, you might start to see in a different frequency, but different than you saw before, and you're noticing that you're seeing different things, not in like, oh, something standing in front of me, but just colors might seem a little different. Your energies definitely will feel different, especially with the sun. Our magnetic field is really much weaker. So either highly ionized ionic winds coming in that really charge the planet, straight up coronal mass ejections with a huge amount of just energetic material, bam, hitting the earth as well. Like, people are getting much, much more, let's say, energized from these events from our sun. And some people might call it schizophrenia. Some people might call it a more violent society. Some people, what would you term it as? I mean, we're seeing society go off the rails. A lot of it's violence, a lot of it's anger, a lot of it's people just like literally breaking down into puddles on the street because their minds just can't process everything that's happening. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is all going on in unison, but for me, it marks a change that's here. It's not about the world's becoming so offbeat, although it is to a point. Thank you, mainstream media and the news feeds that are guiding them into this direction of not, they're riding on top of that change to get a greater outcome through the persons who are observing and absorbing the news feeds.
Yeah.
The world's being constructed on their construct for the reset that we're going through. But if I just feel a lot of people are not able to currently, they're looking for a greater understanding of why all these changes are happening. And it is, it's all in unison all at once. But then the feelings they're having or the energies they're perceiving or being energized by, for them, they're confused by that. And I'm not any like, you know, person to say, I know it all. For me too, man, I have these weird energy days where it's like, I got to get out and chainsaw. I got to get out and do the farm. I got to get out. Like, it's like urgent warning from nature. You better start doing stuff this year, bro. Like an urgent warning that just downloads on me. And I'll just go out and spend 12 or 14 hours working outside. But then other times, like, bro, you need to make money. And it'll just be like this urgent download of I need to work 15 straight days. And then, you know, these changes between what I feel I need to do. And it's not that I wake up in the morning and go, hey, you know, I want to go outside and hang out today and work on the farm. It's just like intuitively it comes to me. You got to work on the farm today. You need to do way more stuff. That needs to be done. You need to fertilize that. That's got to be the, there's 100 million things that always you need to do out here. And for those of you, again, who think homesteading is just coming over and you're going to have cocktails and watch the pretty animals and sit there and look at the sunsets and watch the peach orchard grow, you got another thing coming. It's a full task. It's like having a full-time job. So if you're feeling different energies, and Craig, I would like you to go into it too, because you are much more in tune with that. Like the different energies we're feeling and experiencing, and society seems to be off the rails, skittish, freakish, but it's not. It's a change of energies, and we haven't been taught to be able to utilize them. And yeah. I think that's where we sit right now. I could be wrong, though. I mean, that's just my assessment.
No, I think that, you know, as the energy charges up, I mean, one of the issues that we have is that anybody who's ever looked at, you know, you go to like 1960, you know, beach photos, you can go to the, you know, images.google.com and look at like 1960s beach photos, 1970s, 1980s, 1990s, you know, by the time you get to 2020s and 2025, you're going to realize that humanity is dying, you know, not just sick, but dying. Something really has gone wrong. Now we can all look at it and say, well, what is it? You know,
It's the food.
It's you can say pollution. You can say there's a lot of things we can say. You know, you can say it's pharmaceuticals. You can say it's certain like medical decisions that a lot of people did a couple years ago. Some continue to. There's a lot of stuff like that. But one way or the other, we are the sickest humanity has ever been by far. It's an exponential curve if you look at it, and so. People are completely sick, and now they're also getting hit with, I mean, I'm amazed that people can even function at all with the garbage they're constantly eating. Like, how do you, like, you just drove through and got that pile of garbage, and now you went over there, and you're, like, still alive, and you're functioning. I don't understand. I'd be, like, sick for days, you know, and that's a good thing. So I think that we're the sickest we've ever been, and that ends up where individuals don't have a sense of when you're walking barefoot, for instance, you know, you feel the earth's energy. You know, we are, there's the Schumann resonance. That is, you know, the basically heartbeat of the earth between us and the magnetosphere or ionosphere, you know. So we have the Schumann resonance, and you can look at that. There's apps you can look online. There's apps you can get for your phone. You can see the KP index, how much radiation we're getting hit with. You can see the Schumann resonance from a couple of different measurements. And it's right there on your phone. And you'll start to feel like, wow, you know, I feel like the Schumann resonance just went up. I feel like the magnetosphere is charged. I feel like whatever. And you can go and check and you'll find out as if you're sensitive that you're correct. Most people that I know, we'll all be, you know, like texting each other and such, being like, hey, is the Schumann up? What's going on? I feel it. So we should be able to feel these things. It's just like when we look at all the stone circles and a lot of technology that was made by our, you know, past ancestors, you realize that when they were in that stone circle, they felt it, you know, it was a machine that they used, and we don't necessarily feel that now, you know, and we should. So we're the sickest we've ever been. We're not in touch with our instincts, with our intuition, you know, instincts being physical intuition, you could say, and, you know, true intuition being a spiritual thing, being a metaphysical thing, our natural telepathy, I think it's why we see a lot of car accidents, a lot more, I think, than we used to. People drive crazy. You see it here where I live for sure, because people aren't that internet that we have of communication between us, that internet of consciousness is broken. So people just drive into each other because they don't, their radar they used to have isn't working right, you know? You know, we're sick, we're not in touch with our intuition. And that's one thing about I don't like to call people this, but let's just say mind-controlled slaves. You know, it's very easy to control people right now because you should have a natural intuition, a natural presence. Like we are, you know, your ancestors, my ancestors at some point, knew, like, let's not walk down this hill and go hunting and gathering. Let's go this way because there's some saber-toothed tigers there waiting to get us. You know, you came from successful intuition, you know? And so anyway, humanity's never been further away from their bodies. If you look at the state people walk around in, the terrible health, everybody limps by the time they're 25 at this point. They have, you know, repetitive injuries and such. They have bad backs in their 30s. They can't lift anything by 40. I mean, really, we're in a sad state. So I don't want to go on about it too long. But when you start taking a people, a civilization that has no connection to their body, connection to the earth, connection to the Schumann resonance, connection to their spirituality, to their natural, like, magnetosphere where our consciousness, some say, really exists. We can't connect to our natural internet, you know, of consciousness. We're the furthest we've ever been in my lifetime, at least. And now we're getting supercharged with, you could say, like, enlightenment plasma. How about that? You're either going to be able to use that and ground it and become like Homo Novus, like the new human, you know, or you're really gonna probably become, we're seeing it right now, you know, you're gonna check out with, you know, prostate cancer when you're 50 and just come back again later. So sorry for the rosy picture, but that's what I'm seeing. So really a spiritual explosion, a consciousness explosion is happening, but I would have to say that I don't think it's a majority of humanity that's doing it. It could be like some crazy number, like a matter of millions, and that's it. I don't know. What do you think that ratio is, who are actually catching the plasma energy, catching the GSM energy, having evolutionary leaps, and then those who are basically just going to check out with insanity and drug-induced delusion and just kind of like find, and they'll just look forward to the end because, like, it's they're bringing it forth as quickly as they can through so many means.
That's a number I don't have.
Yeah, but
if you look, though, just to go down in an average city, it seems to be a large population, I guess. But I was just trying to, when you were talking, quantify that. When the KP is high, I always want to be outside.
Mm.
When the KP is lower, like it is today around a 2, because this whole last week I was banging around, you know, 4, 5, yeah. 6. I was just really wanting to be outside to work on the farm. And then since it's come down to 2, I'm like, oh, time to go back to work. Yeah. So again, is it me wanting to be out to absorb those energies out in there versus being in a room? Not sure, but the perception, I think the wave of perception is sweeping through the planet. There's no way to stop it. But, you know, one thing that will be seen is the evil that's around us. So you can see why there's so many distractions. So you don't see that. So just walk through me with the mind experiment. We're going through the same transition, but there's no mainstream media. What would that world look like when everybody could see the overseers for what they are? Versus media mind programming, end of the world's happening every day. You're not going to be able to afford your life, apparently, is what they say. And then, you know, that scatter wave of 65 wars starting at one time, the complex supply chains breaking down at one time. So for me, there's a ratio on it. Like the bigger, the giganticness of all the interwoven stories of the attack over on airport here, the bomb, you know, boom up in the shipping channel there. And then we got the Indian things, like all these things dovetailing and layering over means that they needed to distract from an energy uptick where people would have picked up on it or been able to resonate into that and break down part of their programming.
Mm.
Because I'll tell you about LSD for a second here. That is illegal. You go to jail for a longer time for having LSD than you do for actually if you take another person's life. The reason is a single dose of that will break down all social programming that you've had for your entire life on a single dose. So think about the danger. That's truly some of them. Well, not in my mind, but if you're looking at it from a government standpoint, we spent 18 years indoctrinating you in schools. We programmed you with media in your mind for generations, and a single tablet of that or tab or whatever it's on paper, or however you ingest it, liquid, will break down that entire system of whatever you've been indoctrinated in. I don't care if it's 5 decades, 2 decades, 9 decades, poosh, it's just gone. And you're looking at the world in a completely different fashion. So you know that construct is there for a reason, to trap people and guide people down the road. So if there's a plasma enlightenment wave coming through, which I believe also there's just amplified energies on every planet in our solar system. Even if you talk about that in a video, you get that old big old climate warning under the bottom from the United Nations. If you talk about water starting to show itself on Mars because the energy is changing, if you talk about luminescence increases in Neptune, the atmosphere reversing on Uranus, like these types of things are happening. The auroras are getting larger at the poles on both Jupiter and Saturn. Like, we're seeing energetic change across the entire solar system. But talking about something as simple as that will get you climate warnings. Hey, wait, they notice a new luminescence, which means more heat on the planet in the outer solar system. No SUVs up there. You get a climate strike or a climate warning just for talking about the entire energetic shift in the solar system. So it's here. It's apparent. And I do believe that a lot of these, you know, quote unquote, secret societies / esoteric world at the highest levels, they understand what's going on, and they need to try to keep control during this change. Now, it's a cycle. So it's been here before. It's been here again. It will come again. So what they did do in the last times is more of my search into how do they control society and civilization during these last times. This is where it gets weird, because there's a certain information leading up to those points in time, like 1640 to 1670, and then there's a gap of info. Like, where did it go? Like, there's a full range, and then all it is war. Okay, and then we popped out, and then we have a civilization around, and people are out, you know, and clinking wine in crystal glasses, like, you know, years out, just a few years after that. Okay, where'd that year? We're all at, aside from history that you know, it's just pretty much straight war for 20 plus years, and then that's it, and then we move to the next chapter. Something happens during these times that control needs to be taken, and then history needs to be erased. Fully erased. Okay, so we'll go back to 800 AD. This is a great one here, because the Mayan kingdom collapses in Central America, and then also the Tang dynasty in China collapses. Okay, well, the information in China has also disappeared around 800. I mean, you get right up, it reached the apex of everything a civilized society could reach the apex of. And then it suddenly collapses, and then they're back into invading hordes, and then that, you know, 20 subsequent years just disappears, and then a new dynasty starts. Okay, where did that 20 years of it's gone. That's what I'm starting to find, is just a repeat, and the repeating cycle itself is here, but then during this time, governments change, take over, do whatever they do, and they rewrite history after this chapter's over. And there's very little remnants or recollections of these events. You could find some great, like, proxy. You could look at, like, candles, how many candles they bought for funerary rites and boxes for the last rites, you know, and you can get kind of gauges of things going on. But in terms of breakdown of commerce, like, where did all those people in Norway and Sweden empty out to? So, you know, in the Grand Solar Minimum, in the Maunder Minimum, the populations of Norway and Sweden emptied out 90%. So when they came back in the, you know, late 1600s, borderline 1700s, there was only 10% of the population. Okay, well, where did they go to? There's no record of these people, where they went to, where they resettled to. They just kind of disappeared. Whoosh, where'd they go? Are you telling me there's a 90% population reduction loss? And they just say, yeah, they all migrated out. The ships couldn't come in. There was more sea ice. Okay, excuse, good excuse. But if you try to trace where humanity moved to and how did they reestablish new supply lines, you can't tell me all of Europe moved down to North Africa because it was warmer to grow crops there. You can't tell me the Roman Empire just completely collapsed across everywhere. And yeah, they're suddenly they're fighting with this, that, and the other. And they, well, where did everybody go? Like the following of the timeline comes to a certain point and it vanishes and it picks right back up after these events are over. But there's these gaps routinely. And that's what I'm trying to study is like, how did governments control citizens during this time? And how did they keep supply chains open at that time? And what was the total collapse numbers? Because I do believe in the numbers are going to be somewhere around 25% of the global population perished around between 1640 and 1670, at least. Like we're at that kind of thing. Now you understand, big governments here, you understand, okay, the entire world needs to be restructured new. AI is here. Almost all jobs are going to be, redone in some way, shape, fashion, or form. Okay, we don't need as many humans on the planet. Okay, this is a great time for a grand solar minimum to arrive. You wiped out 25% of the global population last time, and then we sit here at the perfect juncture right now, and then everything's spinning in the wash cycle of we need a new currency. We need a stablecoin standard in America. We need central bank digital currencies over in the EU. We're going to do stablecoin issuance for bringing out the new grow zone in North Africa. Okay, why does the entire economy need to restructure itself? And why do the entire supply chains need to restructure? Why does the entire stock market need to be revalued? Because we're going to revalue companies differently. No more air travel. Why is everything stopping and being rewashed, re-dried, and re-ironed out right now on top of these natural cycles? I'm absolutely sure the collapse of population is going to be so just gargantuan that something else is in play because the world we used to use will no longer be valid because there just won't be enough people to even staff companies, basic functionality at certain companies. I would imagine at the end of this, you're going to see most airlines just junkyards on the, air graveyards at the end of a runway somewhere. They'll have a few functional planes with pilots who still know how to fly. But at the end of this, you're probably going to be at 5% global air travel of where we sit now. Restructure that world. There'll be no more air cargo. How do you even value an air shipment company like DHL where, 20% of the revenue is off air travel or air cargo? You don't. What happens when the ships stop? You don't. There's no shipping companies. You can't value them. That's part of the stock market. Like everything is being unwound right now. The proceedings, Trump's here to oversee the proceedings of the bankruptcy of the United States. Every player you're seeing is there to see the overseership and the bankruptcy proceedings of their country, their corporation, and the new standard is coming up. Now, what form that will take, Craig, I would ask you, because you're super deep into the crypto, you're super deep into the politics, you see these things shifting. Something's terribly wrong here, all at the same time, right on top of this grand solar minimum and the fourth turning on the decline side. And all of it's shifting, that's not the statistical impossibility for all this to be happening. So like on the backside here, when we cross that line, where do you see us being? I know that was another rant. I go on the rant.
Oh, no, it's a good rant because, some things are hard to articulate. You have to kind of work at it a bit. You know what I mean? And then it all kind of somehow gets out there. And I think
still working on it, man.
Yeah, still working on it. You know, so, I think there's some things that we're seeing as far as, what's going to happen. Well, one thing is I do think that there was, this is, very mundane, very, 3D reality, but, there was a lot of hope, like, Trump showed up. And then it's true. I think most people who are, I'm going to call it awake, who had that intuition, who are digging the plasma god vibes coming in, and they're riding their little, energy to ascension. They're getting downloads, like you mentioned. You get these downloads. You go, whoa, today I better be on making money. Today I better do this. Today I better do that. You start to slow down, live differently, do less, but more powerfully. So some people are, I think we're going to really become kind of the governed and then like the not governed. And that's going to start, it's already starting mentally. And so I think there was this great hope, Trump, but now I think, like I say, those who are awake are realizing exactly what you said, that he's just here to oversee the bankruptcy, and I think that's very, very true. So, and it's kind of an inevitable bankruptcy. And I think, well, if you knew that you're going to lose like 20-30% of the population, and you kind of want it to that fit your sort of like, sort of UN WEF kind of plans, well, then If you did have a certain, you know, supposedly voluntary medical precaution that people were really really into, and they were, you know, posing on Facebook and Instagram with a little Band-Aid and little, you know, I'm helping those that can't help themselves, whatever. And so
new normal.
That's the new normal. Well, we got rid of a lot of them, right? So it kind of lessens the blow of the population reduction and maybe even kind of speeds it along. I've oftentimes wondered if that was actually a way to just get to that 20 or 30% or maybe well beyond it faster. You know, and then maybe make sure that people can't reproduce anyway, which in a generation or two really lowers that population. All depends on how far down the rabbit hole somebody wants to go. And one of the things we were going to do is actually on the show here, talk to some, I think they're called Zoomers, like Gen Z, the youngest generation right now. There's some people and that there's some influencers, you might say, or just let's just say YouTubers, you know, have a social media presence, and they talk about the hopelessness of their generation. It seems like they came in and like they're somehow aware that they came in at the end of a cycle, and a lot of them are a little bit doomy, you know. But the thing is, though, it's very easy to look at that and just think, hey, look, kid, you just don't have any life experience, it's not that bad, etc. But when you really start listening to them, and we're going to have some of them on the show soon, you realize that these youngsters came in with the programming for the end. Like, they're aware of it. It's intuition right now, but they're looking around and they're seeing the world like way different than the boomer generation did, than like the Gen X did. I mean, they showed up and like they literally incarnated for the apocalypse, and they're aware of it, and they have some programming that's going to help them live through it. And I kind of, so we're going to have them on the show because I want to get to the bottom of that, because.
And that's really interesting way you're looking at that.
Yeah. They seem to know. So I want to kind of encourage that, hey, you know something, don't be told that you're wrong. What do you know? What are you really feeling? Cause you're what's next. I'm already more than halfway done. Like you, you're what's next. So tell me what the plan is, you know? So yeah, what the next government's going to look like, I'm not sure. I mean, I could conjecture, but I think that if we really do have what we foresee happening, you'd probably see what America break up into several different pieces and such like that. That fallout, we'll see. Maybe we will have like the North American Union of Canada, America, Mexico, but I really don't think that like the power that be the global, I don't think that the powers that be, the globalists, let's call them, are really bright enough to pull it off. So anyway, we'll probably see, you know, our little piece of the world break into different regions and such. I think so. I mean, and I think it'll happen without as much fuss as people think. I don't know. But definitely, I think that a lot of awake people, maybe the Gen Z, and I think a lot of people like yourself, me, humbly I say, others, are really getting beyond the pendulum where we live in sort of a this, that, like right and wrong, wrong and right, right and wrong, you know, left and right, Republican, Democrat, whatever, you know, religious, not religious, whatever. Like, I think that people are beginning to advance beyond those pendulums, where they just literally sidestep all that crap and they're attached to the truth and they're moving towards it. And so it's almost like whatever it's going to look like soon. I oftentimes just recommend what Jeff Berwick says, the Dollar Vigilante. He says, look, there's so much good happening in the spiritual world and in the physical world. If you just tune into it, you'll see it. Just make it to 2030, make it to 2035, just survive. And it's going to be great. The other side is great. You know, what do you think of that? Is the other side great? Just make it to 2030, make it to 2035. And, you know, you're going to be riding. The curve's going to change. And it's going to, that's when you'll have your night vision, your cosmic powers, you know, great hydroponics, a new broken up world with new regions, you know, that are governed in different ways, if governed at all. Just, you know, I kind of want to make it. That's the thing. If nothing else, I just want to see what's on the other side.
All paid for with Bitcoin, man. Yeah, that'll be a Bitcoin world. You know, that purple paid for party that you speak of, the blue and the red blending, they're all paid by. Like, I saw through that many decades plural ago. That that's just two hands of the same, you know, two wings of the same bird. It's like insane how they get people to pit each other to get so argumentative, and like they're really harvesting your energy at that point, you know?
Yeah.
This whole harvesting of energy as you as a human, not only your work energy to get into a corporate entity to allow that machine to go in itself, but harvesting your real energy where your emotional energy is too, to get you to fight over the things of the very land you sit on, whether it's a, you're fighting over a donkey or you're fighting over an elephant. Like that's comical kids cartoon stuff. If I was going to tell a kid a story that didn't know anything about, okay. And the people, the reason the world collapsed is because the elephant people were fighting against the donkey people. And a kid would start laughing and go, what are you talking about? You know, like it makes no sense.
It's going to be cave paintings one day where people are
going to. Yeah, right. It's going to be cave paintings with elephant donkeys on it. They'll go, oh, they're just looking at the donkeys and walking around in the front field, man. Yeah. A lot more relevance to those cave paintings than you think they are.
Oh, I know. Yeah. No, it's true. It's very good to see through the RNC and the DNC are just children's books for adults, you know, who should know better.
Yeah, they are. But I can't believe they get people so fired up, so angry that even send themselves to jail for assault. And like, just don't waste your time. Yeah. You know, hate is the same way. Don't waste your time. Like, these are things that should not, don't even waste one iota of your time on it. It's an illusion. Like when, you know, people would say different things. You've heard people say things in your life like, don't waste your time doing that. Don't waste your time doing that. You know, I mean, as valid as that is to say, okay, you're drinking too much drug, whatever. You're spending too much party. You're doing too whatever. Okay, I get it. Don't waste your time. But again, don't waste your time on that same thing of this whole mind game they're playing on you here. And the older I get, the more I realize it truly is an illusion that they've built for us here. Now, this illusion is being reconstructed right now. Now, you have an elemental chance to jump in and remorph this reality around you by bending in the time. They're going to be changing the format of it. You also, with these amplified energies, should be able to change the format of it within you, within it also.
Yeah.
I think the amplification of manifestation could be faster at this time as well.
It absolutely is. It absolutely is. And there's a lot of, you know, I've seen it firsthand. It is. And, you know, it definitely, people who are, you could say, like manifestation teachers, whatever, they see it too. I mean, the manifestation community, those who do realize that we can do that, definitely are all seeing it. I mean, it's very sped up. I mean, you literally are with the, you know, God plasma coming in, you literally are Neo. You can change things in the matrix. You know, you're not bound to the rules that apply. You really aren't. And I know I've had you almost an hour, but you did mention LSD. And one of the things about, you know, humanity, are we waking up? How are things going? And one of the things that I do see, I have mixed emotions about it, but I see it as a positive ultimately, is that, mushrooms, you know, psilocybin, microdosing, and then even to a more extent, a greater extent, dosing on it, is becoming, it's really in the collective consciousness right now. I mean, so LSD is, you know, pretty heavy stuff. And I know when I was in like my early 20s, I definitely took some massive doses of LSD. And you know, you know, life becomes a lot more like Jimi Hendrix than Frank Sinatra after that day, you know, but it might be a little
nothing's
bit
mushroom. Nothing's ever the same after that. I'm telling you, nothing remains the same.
Yeah. So that might be a little bit much for people, but mushrooms are much more gentle. And I'm really surprised at how many people for depression and other ills are actually legally, you know, from a doctor, you know, using psilocybin in very small doses to actually deal with life. And I don't know, that really is an awakening. So I think that's a positive sign that I'm seeing, you know, use it at your own risk, people, stay legal, but your doctor can give you psilocybin. If either you're depressed or you'd really like to be more enlightened, talk to your doctor. And also, here's one last thing. I don't want to keep you all day, but, well, there's some stories that I'll mention, but one is So, you know, Ford Motor Company is increasing the prices on their Mexico-built vehicles by as much as $2,000 each. I'll leave it at that. Like, that's one thing about the supply chain and such like that. I think that this whole, what do you think about the whole tariff thing that we have right now, mostly led by the U.S.? It to me seems like it's a great cover-up for, it's a great cover-up to cover for what's happening, basically. Like, all of a sudden now supply chains are stopping, things are incredibly expensive, everything is held up. I mean, I trade for a living right now, and I can say that, like, the market's just not moving. A lot just isn't happening. So it seems like with this whole tariff deal, like declaring tariff war on the world, America pretty much is, to a great extent, brought commerce to a standstill. And I think to myself, like, nobody, this is too stupid to be stupid. This has got to be deliberate. I mean, this really is the truth of the Trump admin here to oversee the great bankruptcy and the great, I don't know what you call it, but there is no fiscal reason for this. The things they say don't even make sense. They're childish. They're stupid. But commerce isn't happening, you know? So, like, what do you think that maybe the whole, like, you know, global, like, you know, war on, I don't know, imports is just a way to cover for the natural GSM cycle, which is happening?
Well, it's several fold there. First of all, it's a transference of wealth. You know, this money is going to be siphoned, but it's a transference of wealth. And by allowing this, now you give companies free choice to jump into different nations where they think it might be more survivable, such as BRICS nations. Like, Boeing just left America. Do you think they left because they've been here forever? This is the beginning. You think they just decided to leave on Tuesday because that's a perfect excuse for them to set up? Now, think about Boeing for a second. It's one of the most incredibly important aerospace industry leaders on the planet. And if this country is going to collapse, they do not want the headquarters and the manufacturing to be here. They would move that elsewhere first. And by all the tariffs, that gives them a perfect excuse. Very few eyebrows will be raised except, see, told you so. But on that front, companies can move wherever they want to just survive the chaos that's coming to Western nations with the complete bankruptcy and social chaos that occurs with that, including the food disruption. Now, you mentioned something really important there, too. Like, the disruption of foods, is it really stopping you from getting strawberries in the middle of January? Or is it stopping you from noticing that places like southern Mexico aren't able to grow strawberries to deliver to you anymore because of the disruptions in the hydrological pattern or the temperatures? And we're at that point now where they can't explain away why there's no strawberries coming in January, because they naturally wouldn't grow anywhere because they had cold warnings down in Guatemala this year. All right, so when you put extreme cold warnings down there, where it got into the high 40s in Guatemala across, bananas aren't used to that, man. Anything that's growing down there, it was in the low 30s all the way down to southern Mexico. All those grow zones got snapped this year with extreme cold. So think about all the layers that covers. You can explain away why your favorite food out of season in a different nation isn't being grown. Not that it's not being grown, it's just not available because of the tariffs. Well, what if it really was the magnetosphere is so weak that the jet streams have varied so greatly that we're not able to produce anymore, and they don't want to tell the world that because that would spook a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Never endless wars. Okay, that's one thing biblical that was supposed to be in the Bible anyway. Check the box. It keeps them busy over there for a minute, and they can run around in their circles. But the whole thing about transferring the wealth, they want to get Eve. They want to milk every nickel. Now, if we start to close off nations, you carrying pieces of gold in your pocket on an airplane will be a thing of the past. Whose capital controls will be in heavy. Now, at the end of it, they can come in and swoop through and then, you know, get up all the gold and silver out of the country if they need to from everybody. But this wealth transference and the ability for companies to leave to a destination of their choice to continue. And again, going over the line, once they readjust everything, you know, old world is now. That will just as cleanly, it's like Skype just stopped.
Mm-hmm.
You could use it up to the last minute and then whoosh, the lines, they're no longer usable. Well, that's kind of like our world. It's going to be usable up to a point, and then the very next day, no longer usable. So where are these countries or these companies going to set up in countries that will be leaders moving forward for the next world? Now, some of them are termed BRICS, But that gives them a get out of jail free card. Could you imagine Boeing like 3, 4, 5 years ago trying to just leave America? There would be so many questions. So many. They would have congressional investigations on why they were leaving. And what if they were to say, by the way, there's this 400-year cycle in the sun. America is pretty much going to collapse in on itself, except for the grain production, which will be highly valued and be a world exporter, but it'll be all military transport to get it to the ports. None of you peons will be able to, you'll have to grow your own food. Good luck with that, whatever. But the grain growing areas, that's for world export, not for you, for you out here. Y'all, you just piss off, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That would not be a viable answer to tell to stop panic. But now the tariffs, oh, you're doing such a disservice. Oh, this, that. Well, everything's going to AI anyway. So you got to get the most of it. Now I would say there's, now keep your eye on this. I don't have the list, but you know, if we can create a list together, I'd love to add, anybody, please, in the comments below, I would love to know your list. Aerospace, aeronautics, these sort of things are incredibly and so important that they cannot die off on our planet. It is the base of our civilization to have some of this technology. So it's going to be moved out of the way. It's going to be moved to a safer spot. Like during World War II, did they take the most valuable treasures out of Europe and store them in America along with the gold reserves? Of course they did. They wanted it out of harm's way. So think about the different industries and industry leaders that need to vacate America or Australia or New Zealand or Europe because they need to survive and that we need that technology. So it'll have to be relocated elsewhere. So I would like a list too. Aerospace would be a top one. Like oil refining is pretty easy. They did that in the 1800s, but advanced technologies on microprocessors like Taiwan will be highly protected. Being the world leader in that technology, like there's some places that are going to have protection spots. Like if you think, yeah, so I'm just kind of there with you. It has gone terribly wrong. Our world's being restructured and the leaving of Boeing out of America is absent. And Ford now can milk people. And why are they out of there too? Like auto manufacturing is so important as well. They can do military, they can do consumer, they can do everything. It can do transport, anything that on wheels, we need it in the future. They got to get out of America too. Like the collapse countries are going to be the ones where these companies are starting to vacate.
Yeah.
So use that as your gauge on how quickly they vacate.
It's definitely something, it's a good gauge because for one thing, look at where the physical gold is going. Yeah. You know, I mean, definitely it seems to be leaving Europe. You know, some is coming here. So, you know, gold is going to where it's safe. And
tons are going to China. I mean, so much is going to China and other countries outside of the Western sphere.
Yeah.
They're going to reset the gold standard anyway, at least the base of their currency at 40% or so.
Yeah. And we have a nation that needs to get over kind of looking down the nose at BRICS. Because I think that the smart people are looking at we're looking at Georgia, not in America, the other Georgia, as far as having an extra residence and things like that, because
good call. You know, good call, Republic of Georgia.
Yeah, because I love this country, but you know, you might need to leave, and you know, you might be doing it on a rowboat with a bunch of friends. So anyway, you know, it's good to look towards the BRICS if one can secure a property there, you know, a residency there. Georgia, you can do it. You don't even have to live there, and so
you get a 1-year visa as an American, fly in 1-year landing visa, which is awesome.
Yeah. So you can set up a, you know, I know as a trader, it's totally legal. I'm not doing anything funny, but you can set up your LLC there in Georgia and trade from there. And then you don't have capital gains. So there's a lot going on and it's not just corporations. I think it's people that are aware who are beginning to sort of become like a true globalist and going, where is it best for me right now? And that's something I'll just like leave us with is, there's so many things like I could mention, but here's just one for people. If you can, to whatever extent you can, become free. I mean, I know some people cannot, or they have to work on it, but you know, maybe read Think and Grow Rich might be a good place to start. I don't know.
I have that book right there on my shelf.
Yeah. See, so, you know, I mean, you know, and David is over 400 years old, so he knows, you know what I mean? He can speak.
Secret to longevity.
Yeah. I mean, he used to, I forget the author of Think and Grow Rich. It's,
Let me hold on here. I'll get it for you. I got it right here. Napoleon Hill.
Yeah. Tolkien and Napoleon Hill and David actually lives through the last Grand Slur Minimum together. Okay. So they know.
We did, and we brought it up as a magnate in the early 1900s.
Yeah, so Think and Grow Rich.
Hardback.
Yeah, so there you go, everybody. Check out Think and Grow Rich to the extent that you can. I know this is an incredible ask for people, but really, if you're listening to this, if you get what's going on, then you probably already have an incredible head start just with your knowledge. But maybe you're not where you want to be physically, financially, etc. So do what you can to become free. Become self-employed. Find a way to work from home. You know, find sources of income streams that are not dependent on being in an office, and get free, because you need to be mobile for the times that are coming, and you need not to be tied to an office, and you want to get somewhere rural if you can. You guys know what to do. You girls know what to do. You know what I mean? Just to whatever extent you can, please work on becoming free so that you have the financial ability and the mobility to be where you need to be and afford what you need to afford in the coming times. And I think no matter how hopeless it may seem, you wouldn't be listening to this if you weren't already there. So your future you is pulling you towards itself right now. So I want you to do well. Be free. So anyway, everybody, David Dubine, Adapt 2030, thank you so much for being on. Any parting last thoughts?
No, I had this as a bookmark. This is the ISO 20022 tokens that will be used for payment rails for the world's new financial system. IOTA, Cardano, Chainlink, Bitcoin, Ethereum. Well, those are new, the ones, Algo, XRP, and XLM, Stellar Lumens. Yeah. So why is this in my Think and Grow Rich book? Because I see the future at least involved in part of this. And your greatest success will always come one step before it, which defeat has taken over.
Mm, absolutely. So we're damn close. Everybody. All right.
TV box. I had my thing on for 2 hours when I was recording about some crazy battery stories here. So
so let me actually turn off record here. Let me hit escape.
All right, man.
And everybody, thank you so much. David Dubine, Adapt 2030.
Join us over there at civilizationcycle.com as well.
Yeah. Take care. And all right.